Well, then let's move on to the moon. Will you describe the moon?
Tippie Canoe and Tyler 2.
You said Tippie Canoe
and Tyler 2.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler 2.
Yeah.
Is that a song?
Tippie Canoe and Tyler 2 is no atmosphere, dry, dusty, rocky surface. It has mountain ranges, and it has flat areas, and it has dark areas. It's like a basaltic lava, and it has a lot of impact craters. It's a cold, dry orb. It's kind of like Bob. Bob is a cold, dry orb, so it's like Bob. He's studded in craters and strewn with rocks and dust called regolith. That's what he is. That's Bob.
Are there any humans on that? On the base, on the moon.
Yes.
Is it like a satellite that we brought here?
Yes.
And the purpose is to what?
It's to counterbalance your shifting gravity. You know what a balance beam is? Where was you when lightning struck the flying genies? It's the counterpart. It's what balances. It rotates around from the pitch. It's kind of like a when you're in a balance beam and you have a weight on one side,
right,
and it balances, and then you can spin, and then it turns. And this is the counterbalance that keeps it all into motion. The flux takes the gravitational pull and the pitch and the yaw. It's kind of like the lotus flower. When the lotus flower is opening, gravity is pushing it open, but it's actually forcing it to stay closed. But it's pushing its way out, and in each ring of the 14 rings go around in a circle, kind of like a spirograph. And then it lays out, the first ring lays into a very simple way. But the beginning, that's the cortex. That's the beginning. That's where it all starts. Then you move quickly into the second ring. The second ring is what applies to the first ring, which means that the winds hold it back. It's what holds it, the last protection layer. Then you go to the third ring, which opens up the valence and the balance from the 14th ring, but it connects because it's when it lets everybody know that it's safe. Then you have the fourth ring. The fourth ring then becomes the cadence, the knowing of the mark, of the DNA code that's going to change. The fifth ring then comes into what's opening or closing too. The sixth ring now opens back up in the blood types and coming into the ship. We're halfway there, because when you get halfway there, then you can know that this is the essence of that cell, that perfect cell that's becoming, that you're laying out. Now the seventh ring, that's a funny place. That's where all the blood has to be sifted. It's sifted. All the blood types will be changed. Everything kind of comes. It would be a main moniker, or the largest base of the outside of what you call the lotus flower in bloom. It'd be the base. Then you go to the eighth ring, and there's the angels and all the rings that contain for the angels. Now they move in and out of all the rings, but that's where they're so joined. The ninth ring brings you back into the blood moon. The blood moon then brings you back into what sets the light of that ring. The ninth ring then comes back and opens into the pentad that allows all of the essence of the first five rings to be connected, making it as one, because that stamen that is connected as one must be that together. The tenth ring brings back into all the outside forces, the troposphere, stratosphere, all the spheres. The 11th ring then brings you back into where that up and down or the pitch or degrees of freedom that allow this to move and sort of sets the status of shaking the egg where the albumen stays in the middle. It's those connective tissues that lay it into it. 13th ring, that sits in all the periphery of closing the zygote, so nothing else can penetrate it once it becomes open and becomes fertilized. Nothing else can pierce it. Then you go to the 14th ring, and that space between it, between the valence and the valence. See, and that's all you needed to know about it.